Half a day, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You wonder why you have a hard time holding on to friends, because people don't want to come around you, because you're bitter, you're envying, you're strife. You don't have to live that way. God doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want that in your life. He wants you to be able to enjoy right relationships.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these lessons from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we continue our look at 12 characteristics of a difference maker, Pastor Herron shares with us a message with the unique title, Wise Man or Wise Guy.
We started the book of James with the perseverance in suffering. You remember us talking about that? This is the mark of a genuine believer. In addition to that, enduring temptations, and with the Spirit of Christ living in us, and being able to respond to the Word of God as it's preached. The impartial love and showing love that's not prejudiced against people. The genuine works, that faith expresses itself in works. And then last week, the gracious speech. And this is tied into the seventh difference-making mark, and that is the area of godly wisdom. For a person to be a Christian, they're going to express itself in wisdom. And this particular passage, James here, contrasts godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And how does that apply to us today? In verse 13, look at your Bibles, when he makes the question, who is a wise man and then endued with knowledge? Who is that, he says, that's among you? If they're really that wise and they're that knowledgeable, then James here masterfully ties in three contrasts. He contrasts the source of where that wisdom is going to come from. He contrasts the characteristics of this is what wisdom, genuine godly wisdom is. And then he contrasts the results of it. Here's what's going to show up if a person is really godly and going to have that wisdom. Look at the difference between the wise man or a wise guy by, first of all, the contrast of wisdom that's found in its origins. Notice, if you would, when he says in verse 13, let me start there when he answers the question, who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Then show out of a good conversation. He says, notice verse 15, this wisdom descends not from above, verse 15. And so the origin of it, he says, first of all, the contrast is, notice, it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. Why is he saying that? He's saying because the idea of earthly is literally governed by my own instincts. It's horizontal. I'm operating purely on this basis. It's sensual. It's the idea of natural. It's natural. And then he says, it's devilish. Baby, the best translation is, it's demonic. And that is different than where God ends up giving wisdom. And you remember James 1:5, he mentioned it earlier in the letter. How do we get wisdom? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give that to you. So if you're in that position, you find yourself with a great amount of wisdom. That's contrast in its origin. Notice, secondly, notice the contrast, not only in its origin, but notice in its characteristics or how it operates. This is what he answers the question, verse 13 and 14. What false wisdom looks like as a wise guy, a smart aleck, and a wise man. A person that is going to end up having godly wisdom sourced out of God. What does it look like? And he gives the characteristics. Notice these are the four signs. He says, first of all, the false wisdom, what it looks like, he's going to envy. He makes the statement of being envious, verse 14. Notice as well, it's full of strife in verse 14. He says, if you have bitter envying and strife, it's the very idea of a party spirit. And then he says, thirdly, there's boasting. Verse 14, notice in your Bibles, he said, lie not or glory not. Don't boast in what you are. And fourthly is deceit. Lie not against the truth. Then what is of God? You know what the contrast is, the characteristics? He gives nine of them. Let me click through these with you. They're not really difficult, but notice if you would. In verse 16 and 17, he makes the statement, there's meekness Actually, back up to way verse 13. Let him show out of a good conversation. That's not just your words, but it's your spirit. It's your lifestyle. It's your conduct. All of it wrapped up. Here's how it's going to show up. It's going to show up in meekness. He says, show out of meekness, of wisdom. You know what he's talking about? It's the idea of power under control. And the very word meekness is the idea of a horse that's broken, something very big that's brought under control for great benefit. You know what wisdom is? It shows up in very productive. Let me illustrate it this way before I walk the rest of this. I got to do something that I've always wanted to do. I didn't plan on doing this. I just happened to be in Florida. We were doing some recruiting. I realized the shuttle Atlantis was blasting off. I got to see this live. I was going to drive down and watch it, but we ended up not doing that, and I watched it on television. I mean, as it was happening, it was awesome. And so it blasted off within 15 seconds. It was going 500 miles an hour. At a minute, 1 minute into launch, it was going 2,000 miles an hour. That's an A ticket ride right there. So I realized, I looked out the hotel we were at, and there's a lady looking up the sky. I thought, man, we are only 45 miles from Cape Canaveral. So we went out, and I'm watching this, what I saw on the television. I'm seeing this same shuttle go break through the clouds now. It's only going into between a minute and a half to 2 minutes in its launch. It's now at 2 minutes going 6,000 miles an hour. That's your basic G-forces, man. This is awesome. And I'm watching this break through the clouds, coming through the sky. You know that white trail? I'm listening with my acute hearing. I didn't hear anything. I thought, this is so awesome. Power, man. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As simple as that is productive. You take that jet fuel, you put it in a 55-gallon drum and put it in your motel room and light it on fire. It's not going to be productive unless you want a lawsuit and collect insurance off of the hotel you don't want. You see, it can be very good. It can be very bad. In this case, James is saying it's very productive, and it shows up. Characteristics. One, it's meekness. Number two, it's pure. He says it's first pure, verse 17. It's chaste. It's free from defilement. And then he says it's peaceable, verse 17b. He just starts listing through. You want to say this person's from God? Are they meek? Are they pure? Is it peaceable? He also says there's a gentleness. Matthew Arnold calls it sweet reasonableness. It carries the meaning of moderation without compromise. That's what he's talking about here. There's wisdom. There's gentle. Notice as well, he's easy to be entreated. Notice in your Bible. It's the idea, put the word compliant. They're easy to be entreated. He doesn't compromise his own convictions. He can disagree without being disagreeable. And then he says, mercy. In 17, it's full of mercy. It's the idea of full is being controlled by mercy. Mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And everyone wants mercy. God says that's a characteristic, very simply, of wisdom. Notice as well, good fruits. People are faithful. They're fruitful. And they're not an empty life. John 15. And then he says, there's without partiality. The idea here is of decisiveness. The word, very simply, suggests singleness of mind. It's the idea of unwavering. It's used only here in the New Testament. Literally means not to be parted or divided, hence without uncertainty. There's no indecisiveness. And then lastly, he says, there's sincerity, without hypocrisy. And you know the idea, the Greek word hypocrite means, very simply, one who wears a mask. It's an actor. It's a person that says, hey, this is what I am. Ha, ha, ha. Then you find out later, you know what? They're not like that. And boy, oh boy, it creates great skepticism. By the way, in our United States culture, I think that is one of the greatest damages that happens to many, a pastor and a preacher, or a public figure, that they saying all of these things and they sincerely might believe it. And then later on, you find out other events going on and it produces a skepticism. I find that for many unbelievers that so want to believe the truth, but that becomes a stumbling block because they're not so sure they want to step out over the edge because what if this is untrue or what if they're a hypocrite? And it keeps them from genuinely turning to Christ. Oswald Chambers made the statement so true, "I'm not skeptical of anyone. I only trust my Heavenly Father." Listen, you put your trust in who God is, but don't live in skepticism because it will turn you into a cynic. And if you're not saved, it'll turn you away from the gospel because you will miss the genuine truth that James is saying. Listen, these are all characteristics. These are all illustrations of a person that's showing out of a good conversation. And you know who comes to my mind? Daniel comes to my mind. Put down Daniel chapter 6 as an Old Testament example because I think he displays it in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. Jot it down because I think it's helpful when he makes the statement in Daniel 6, 3, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. Listen, because an excellent spirit was in him. He says it again in Daniel 5, an excellent spirit that moved Daniel from one of three over 120 to eventually he was the main guy, answered to the king, the third king. He was probably 75 years old here, and he finds himself in a place of great leadership. Why? Was it because of all the knowledge he had? God endued him with that, but he had an excellent spirit. And he was in so contrast to all the other counselors that were after his job to the point that what can we hold against this guy? I know his relationship with his God. Let's go to the king and create a law that says you can't worship anyone else but the king. And Daniel, when he heard that, he still went up to his bed just like he always did and prayed out to God. You see, that is such a simple illustration, but such a great contrast. When you find people that want wisdom, it will show up in their life, in their spirit. How is your spirit? Do you have an excellent spirit? Or do you have one in which you wonder why you have a hard time holding on to friends because people don't want to come around you because you're bitter, you're envying, you're strife? You don't have to live that way. God doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want that in your life. He wants you to be able to enjoy right relationships. And I think this is why ultimately the third contrast that he puts out, James does, is the contrast not only of the source and the characteristics and the operations, but thirdly, very simply, look, if you would, the contrast of wisdom revealed in its outcome. This is the result of it all. And very simply, he sums it up in verse 16 when he makes the statement back to James, when he makes the statement, "For the wisdom that's from above, we listed all that." But he does make the statement in verse 16, "For where envying and strife, there is confusion in every evil work." You know what that says to me? You say, "Well, I don't really know whether this is, you know, this person says he's of God." And really? Then very simply, you'll end up finding that worldly wisdom produces trouble. It produces trouble. Paul deals with it in 2 Corinthians. He deals with it in chapter 12. He deals with it in chapter 2, dealing with wisdom. But it's worldly wisdom, and it only produces confusion. It's the idea of disorder that comes from instability. It's related to a person being unstable. When you end up finding an unstable environment, and it's continually that well, you normally will realize there's not godly wisdom here.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.